But if you ask them rather than tell them, usually they're pretty agreeable. And if, you know, if there's a real serious issue, then that's another matter.
We did take waypoints all the way along. There's about 25 trees or so, give or take one or two probably. If anybody wants to see it.
So are we all set aside doing this then?
So,
as long as the trees get out of the ditches?
Yep.
Okay, thank you for coming, Si.
Yep. Thank you.
Just quickly, so is Si authorized to create an RFP, or are we authorizing him to
you know, we should vote to approve the spec, right?
We also have to authorize him to.
Well, he doesn't. He really doesn't have to do an RFP. All he's really got to do is get three bids,
right?
Because this is going to be under $25,000.
Okay.
Because we don't have that kind of money.
Yeah.
And so he's really got to get two or three quotes.
Yep.
So he can do that. So I would entertain a motion that someone authorize Si and/or Alan Graham, because they are the tree wardens, to get two or three quotes and bring it back to the board, and then we will get this project moving.
So moved.
Second.
Did I make the motion? Oh,
yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
One question, though.
Yes.
Does Si's company want to participate? So that, how do we handle that?
That's
so
why
there's no
going,
conflict.
Yeah, that's why everything's going to Emily.
That's why he wants me to get the prices.
Yeah. I won't be looking at this first round, but in the future, I think that's a cleaner way to deal with it.
Yeah.
But we as a board will have to choose the vendor to do the project. So Si is, he can participate if he so desires.
I just want to make sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Does anybody have a problem with that being a conflict of interest? We're making the decision. He's just going to get vendors to bid on the project.
And send them to him. He won't ever see the bids.
He will not see the bids. Okay. They're going to meet
him. Glad
to according to him, according to this.
Yeah.
So I get
the same lesson. I don't believe we voted on that.
Let's do it.
We're all set then. The next thing is contractors still for the town garage. I've been trying to get contractors in there. There's one sill that needs to be replaced where they put the grader in, or part of it, and there's some other work that needs to be done in addition to painting. I've got one painting estimate. I'm trying to get some others that nobody seems to wish to call back. And so if anybody has any questions, otherwise I will keep trying to get estimates so that we can get that taken care of this summer. And actually, Steve, I need for you to contact somebody. I'll talk to you later. Remind me, if possible. Outline necessary actions after town meeting. That you put on a SharePoint. I looked at that, Scott. Do we need to go over that?
Anybody has any questions, but...
That's fine. The 2020 census, I put that on there. A lady emailed me regarding putting signs up along the road to advertise positions. I did not feel comfortable giving her permission to do that as one board member. I told her that there were a few places in town where she could post notices at Tego and at North Comfort, and she could put them here if she talked to the girls that were here and asked permission in advance. Do you want me to tell her she can put signs up along the road, or do we want to just let it go with that? I felt that they'd all get snowed up and pushed over anyway.
Yeah, if they're going to do it...
What she wants is she wants more workers.
Yeah.
What kind of signs are we talking about?
Well, we never got that far because I didn't feel I had permission to do that.
They're on 107 in Bethel, and they look like election signs.
They're like political signs.
Exactly.
Are they in people's yards or in the...
There's one at the intersection of 107 and 12, like right by the underpass in Bethel. There's a couple out towards like McCullough's store. Looks like they're just jamming them in the snowbanks, but I'm sure they're getting covered up and pushed around. So
I can email her back. That email only came in a week ago. I can email her back and tell her that's fine, or we can just let it go and say, no, we don't want them in the snowbank to pick them up in the spring, and yeah, we hope you put the notices in.
We want to give her a limit as to how many she can put out and then get permission.
I will do whatever the board wishes. We need a motion to get that accomplished.
I can put a notice in the paper.
That's okay.
Just to make sure they pick them up because we ran into...
Yeah, I mean, we can make it required that they need to be the ones to pick them up, just like political signs too.
So, in other words, shall I email her and tell her she can put signs, a limited number of signs, maybe no more than
six
on the road, but that she has to be sure that they get picked up after?
Yeah, sure.
Do we need a motion, or are we just in agreement on that, and that's okay?
I agree. Yeah.
Okay, that's done. Your RFP for Pomfret LeBounty Road intersection.
Oh yeah. So I did. Everybody get that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The only thing I forgot to put in it. Well, a couple of things. One is when we want to have it come. The RFP come due, and maybe it's a request for proposals. Maybe I went too far with this. I was trying to put together something so there was a scope of work. We only budgeted $7,500, so it doesn't fall into the RFP world.
When we met with Chris Bump last summer/fall, he was quite interested in that project, and before we set out an RFP. I would like to see if Jimmy and I couldn't get him up here and maybe see if we couldn't get some engineering out of him rather than have to foot the bill ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was interest 2 years ago.
And so I would like to pursue that before we set out an RFP, if that would be okay with you.
It's totally okay with me. I just want to keep the ball.
Well, I think we should, but he did express interest, and he was quite keen on that.
Okay.
And maybe we could get some engineering out of them rather than foot the bill ourselves.
Yeah, well, 2 years ago, Mike Blakeney also expressed interest, and he's kind of the number two guy there. So,
I'd like to try that first, if that would be okay with you.
It's totally okay with me.
There must have been some chat or someone going on, because Scott Jensen had brought it up to me one day. He was down, he met me down in the garage, and he brought up the intersection as well.
Okay, good.
So we'll touch base with.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time. I mean, you know, even if we put out the RFP, they can't get in. No one can get in the survey for a couple of months anyway.
Okay, we now have. You must be Kevin Warden.
I am.
This is our select board, he's here regarding the Tico store renovations. And you may want to stay for this, Jim, or maybe not. This is for work in the right-of-way.
Oh, around Tico's store.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Is this a good place to set up here?
That's fine.
Okay. Thanks for having me. You guys are props. 7:30 and 5 minutes ahead.
Oh, you're pretty good, then.
Yeah. All right. So I'm Kevin Orton, civil engineer with Engineering Ventures, working with... Daniel Architects and the Tico store, and we were here a little while ago in front of the planning board for this and described the project. Much of it is happening, of course, within the property on the store itself, but we're also proposing some things outside of the property in the town's right of way. Let me preface it by saying I have been in touch with Rita Cito from the Two Rivers out of Creechy, and look back through many years of studies that have been done around the Tico store by the state, by DuBois & King, RSG, and others. And I'm kind of aware of all those different things that the select board has looked at in the past, and I'm aware it's kind of a tricky few intersections. This is the existing site plan here. Stage Road is here, Pomfret Road here, the library's down here, and this is the store. The dark dashed line is the property. As you can probably see, the store extends beyond the property into the right-of-way on Pomfret Road. And Pomfret Brook is right here. I flip it over. There's a small plan that shows the store and the parking across the way. Should I give an overview of everything proposed or just what's proposed in the right of way? Just maybe a quick overview of what's going on at the store as well? Interest or just keep it?
We don't have anything to do with the zoning board of adjustments.
Sure.
And what they're going to do, I think we need to at least know what you're planning to do in the road right of way. I don't think you're going to get any decision tonight.
Sure.
Because we were not informed that any of this was happening, the select board never got notice of the hearing. We would like to do a site visit before we made any kind of try to figure things out. So I guess it's the board pleasure. We might as well hear a preliminary go through as to what he wants to do, and then we'll schedule a site visit down there.
That's good. And Christina's here from the store if there's any questions around the store itself. Very quickly, the store itself is a full renovation of the store. The post office stays. There'll be some seats added. Specifically, what you'd see on the outside is a new porch, a deck we've proposed over the Pomfret Brook, and then a bay window in the back, so it gives a little seating on the inside and also some views of the brook. Beyond that, what we've proposed outside the property line, outside the store, is taking that existing gravel and paving area out front where the pumps used to be and pulling out and restricting vehicle access from that location. We know that in the past, easy parking in front of the store was a prime desire, so we did add in an ADA spot right along the side of Pomfret Road, and that's right here. That could also be used, you know, intermittently for quick drop-offs, maybe for the postal truck that comes, etc., and then all other parking would be across the street. So the improvements in the right-of-way include a curb along the building, because the road's pretty much paved right up to the building, and that gives about a 3-foot area next to the building for snow and keeping cars away from it. A straight pull-off and parking for an ADA spot with a striped aisle between the parking space and Pomfret Road, and then a flush curb sidewalk on the other side of that parking space with access to the post office and the front porch. And then a curb all the way out here with a returning that area to the lawn. And this area out here, I just want to point out, kind of emulates some of the plans that were in front of the select board years ago, which included a small concrete curb island right here, and taking the stop sign that's way up here that nobody sees and moving it right down here and putting a stop bar in. So from an engineering point of view and circulation, we think this is much improved. Across the street, there's kind of wide open curb cuts into that parking. We're going to keep the parking much the same as it is, but pave it and stripe it so it's a little more organized, and then also narrow up the curb cuts a little bit so they're not quite as wide. And you know, control the movement of vehicles in and out of that parking area. And then, as I mentioned, a crosswalk, which would need appropriate and approved pedestrian crossing signs in the right of way as well. So that is it.
I think it's overall an improvement. I don't know. The only concern I have is with the handicapped parking spot in the building. If there's some way that you can make it so that it was one-way parking pointed south so that you can't park in there and then go north on Pomfret Road because of the site issue with the building being there.
Totally understand. We had that same comment from the fire chief, and all I can say is this is kind of like a parallel parking space, and by Vermont law you're supposed to parallel park in the direction of travel. So we can sign it, designed it to meet that goal. I know there are some plans that talk about Pomfret Road as being one way, etc., and that's not going to happen here, but this was the best we could do. This felt like a better spot to put a vehicle parking than out in the front here where you've got two intersections and then, you know, wide open curb cuts right now. So
overall, I feel it's an improvement over what's happening down there.
How many parking spots did you pick up across or propose across the street?
I think it's 14.
14, okay.
That's interesting. How many are there, but it's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. No, I actually measured it once, and that's the exact number I came up with.
Sure.
That's interesting.
I do want to mention we also are proposing a catch basin here
There's an existing one that's kind of clogged up right nearby, but it is in the right of way. So that's a low point. And the fire chief mentioned that we do get water during, you know, with ice dams in the brook and whatnot. Water kind of comes down here and then goes into the basement and through the store at times. So that's another improvement in the right of way.
Are you going to change the roof from sand and seam to something else?
Yes, actually, they talked about turning it to asphalt.
Okay.
We had it happen the other day where it slides, and it goes right across the entire road.
Fortunately, well, no, and I realize that.
Yeah.
And the road crew takes care of that, and they also plow all the snow away from the building.
Sure.
And make a couple, or at least you still do, don't you? Make a couple passes so that it all goes on the other side. So... I just was asking if you had decided to change the roof or still go.
We did discuss that, yep. That she thinks she would prefer the asphalt anyway, and that would allow for, you know, it would just drip, right?
Hopefully,
I mean,
yeah,
that
better
slides.
Insulation
yeah.
and an asphalt roof
yeah.
would keep it from sliding as well.
Correct.
Yeah, question. Is there, what about the septic system? Is there in that parking area that is having to do with septic?
Yeah, there's a septic system in the parking area. Right now, and the only revisions we're proposing is because the kitchen will be preparing food a little more, is to add a grease trap, which would be on the property right in front of the front porch. To
how many gallons?
Detect. It's a 1,000-gallon grease trap. Yeah.
A lot of grease.
And that's actually something we have to do per
that's
state,
what the state
requirements.
That's
the
state,
yeah.
state requirements. Yeah. Yep. And it's... You know, it's a grandfathered system without a lot of other options, so we want to make sure we protect that.
Is that a crosswalk that I'm seeing right there?
It is, yeah.
Do you guys plan on maintaining that yearly? Or?
We haven't gotten that far. You know, I think ideally it's a small crosswalk. It'd be the elastomeric paint that would last a long time, but that should be something that the select board weighs in on, you know, improvements within the right-of-way and how they're maintained. I think everything... You see on the plan that the applicant is proposing to do, but once it's in the right of way, I don't know. There's some sort of agreement.
I think there should be a crosswalk there. It kind of helps funnel people when people see one, and not everybody's going to use it, as we all know, but it helps funnel people to one place.
Yeah.
No matter what grade of paint you use, you're going to have to repaint it.
True.
It's also a traffic calmer.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, and it's... It's in a spot where there's fairly good visibility both ways. We looked at the site and braking distance for the posted speed, and it's got adequate visibility. There might need to be a little bit of trimming of some brush back here, but I think some trees were removed in past years that actually have improved that visibility.
It's definitely done.
Yeah.
If you bring a tractor trailer from the north down toward Woodstock, can it make it around that curve to get up State Road?
From here down there? It would cross the center line. So this is more for box truck size.
Well, I know, but there are a lot of tractor trailers that come down through there.
Yep.
You know, unfortunately, as we know with Howe Hill, we don't just get box trucks.
But do they go straight to Woodstock, or do they head this way?
I don't ever watch them. I'm sure they go both ways.
But I mean, if they head to Barnard on State Road,
yeah.
They'd go to the library.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Gracious, yeah. We see any manner of things. I'm always amazed at the way people go.
Yeah. I mean, if that's a real... the traffic counts show that, you know, 90-something percent of people that come down Pomfret go straight. But if there's people taking a right, this is sized for most vehicles, but not tractor trailers.
You can fix that with a...
You do a mountable curve sign. With what?
No right-hand turn sign there.
You could do that. You could do a mountable curb if it's really desired to let the tractor trailers through there.
Yeah, I think most of them, when they're going towards Barnard,
go
down library.
Yeah, I would imagine.
The only person that's really going to go right there is the person that's confused.
It's confused.
Right.
But if they can't go right, they're going to really be confused. So
I've also witnessed them go across the street around the septic. Mm-hmm. And back out, knowing they can't make that sharp,
right.
that sharp turn.
Not ideal.
So that there's a lot of trailers, even pickups with like 20-foot trailers that use the parking lot across the street, just ensuring that they can get in and out without destroying the curb or destroying their equipment. And then the visibility sight line from where the handicap is, mm-hmm. and that stop sign. If you're in a dump truck that has no rear window and you only can look out the passenger, as it is now, you kind of have to hook in there. If you don't take Library Street, which a lot of truck drivers don't, they just have to kind of ease out of that parking, the stop sign, rather, because you can't see.
You can't see back.
You can't see down Stage Road. So I've seen these guys, they have to actually go through the stop sign, inch out halfway into Stage Road to even get that visibility. So if that's regulation, or if that curb can be brought back in a little bit.
This curb here?
Yeah.
Just
so you can hook in.
And the other thing is, right now there's often cars in this area, which restrict site distance. So there wouldn't be any cars, and this car is back enough that I think if you're staying stopped here at the stop sign, you're going to have a better view down Stage Road than you do now.
You do if you're in a car, but if you're in a truck with just two windows, I drive a big van, and I never go that way. I always go Library Street because you've got a straight intersection. You go into that intersection, and the same is through down at the next intersection on with Route 12. You are blind. And you either have to swing wide and make yourself a T intersection, or you're likely to hit someone. And it's not ideal. I'm not saying it's never been ideal. It doesn't make any difference what you do with it. It still isn't ideal because it isn't a T intersection.
Yeah. Yep. Maybe there should be some signing up at the north end of Library Street, alluding to the fact that trucks ought to go to Library Street. Go to Woodstock,
or a sign that says Stage Road.
Yeah.
Well, and then, of course, there's always been that talk of making it a one-way street and having a kind of a rotary, and that's always something to consider as well. But Neil?
Does the Select Board have any plans to do away with the Y on Library Street, make it into a T?
We should.
We haven't discussed that. But we could. Maybe we should.
Be safer.
Any other questions from the board? From anybody else? Jim?
So I guess my question is, so all this is there an anticipation? It looks like there's going to be an anticipation you're going to start serving more meals and stuff because the extended deck and the decks and things in the bay window sounds like you're going to beef up that aspect of the store.
I mean, we're still not going to be a restaurant. Do you know what I'm saying? We're still going to be the same kind of place we are. We're going to have a couple more places where you could put your butt if you choose to stay. More than half of our people are grab and go. We're talking about possibly making food for people to prepare food for people to take home for dinner, not necessarily to come and eat. Our hours, we're not going to be staying open later. We're not going to be, you know what I mean? I think it's just a matter of, right now we have that butcher block and that's it.
Right.
But we have people who line up along the broad shelf in the back, and eat.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's... We're still not going to be a restaurant, I guess, is my point.
How is it permitted now as far as the state health and the test is concerned?
In terms of seating?
Yeah.
I mean, they let us have that butcher block in those schools because it's at the coffee area, but it's really small. Yes. But it's a deli. Exactly.
Is it going to be considered a deli when you start?
It is still going to be considered a deli, but we are going to be, they're going to allow us to have that seating inside.
You're not
going to
be serving at the seats. You're going to be picking it up.
Yeah. No. No wait staff. No. Yeah. No busing. No.
Kathleen had talked about putting an ice cream stand in for the summer. Mm-hmm. Is that still in the plans?
Well, we're talking about having ice cream for sure. Yeah. We're not talking soft serve or anything like that. But
was there going to be a window going outside?
That's her dream. Yep.
Yeah.
In the front, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So I'll express it here as long as there's people here. It just, we've talked about this thing about and I'm all for Artist Street. I'm all for the Tego store and things, but things have started to creep and they're getting bigger and a little more congested.
And one of the issues I have, I'll be upfront about it, is that, yeah, we got a few people coming in and sitting around, and now you're going to put some, you know, there's a, looks like you're going to have the bay windows going to be seating, you know, there's going to be seating on that.
Which takes the place of what we already have.
Cantilevered, and then there's the front and stuff. So I see it sort of getting bigger, and one of the scenarios I see is that I know, and I'm for Kathleen having an ice cream stand. I've told you this before. The problem is you got now, you got, all of a sudden, if you've ever been to Sandy's, you know, it's they kind of are back away from the road and stuff. But we've got now, you've got people parking across the street, and we've got kids dashing back and forth, and people, and it's getting bigger than just the locals dashing in and out. I just see this. I actually come up with a plan that I proposed to Kathleen that might alleviate a lot of problems, and it seemed to go nowhere. But that was to move the store and actually fix the intersection there properly. I think that Stage Road ought to come in and T, and you stop Stage. Pomper Road goes clear through. Stage Road has a stop sign that you stop in front of where the store is now. You stop and you look left and right. Blank off Library Street so that, because one of the other issues, I mean, looking at this overarching, there are problems with people coming out of the Artistry building, out of Artistry proper, and pulling onto Library Street. And I've heard complaints from both sides. There's the people pulling out of there complain, the people coming down Pomfret Road won't signal. When they come onto Library Street, they almost hit them. And vice versa. And so there's a little bit of I've got a lot of complaints about little snarls there. And so one of the things would be to clear that area away and actually make it, better. We'll make a wonderful intersection there and fix it up, and then try to somehow accommodate what Kathleen wants to do. I wish that she had a little more land across the street. What would be nice is to get the Tego store pivoted and put across the street where all the pedestrian activity could happen
on one side of
the road. We would treat Pomfret Road as a through road. Traffic calming would happen because people know you're coming up on a stop sign. Onto Pomfret Road from Stage Road, you're coming to a stop sign. Where now, if you come down Stage Road, it's just a nice sweeping curve around to head to Woodstock. And, you know, most of us are cognizant of what's the activities there. But again, that would have a calming effect back up onto the Grange. So the intersection idea I had was is to take a look at it in a very comprehensive way. We keep looking at it little bites, but really we have the Grange, the Artistry folk, the people that come out from the Grange at night from the wonderful shows that are there, but they cross the street without looking left or right. I've been there, seen it several times, and so, you know, taking a look at this thing is a bigger picture, and the impact that all of these things have had. I think there's some things we could do, and certainly Kathleen has done some wonderful things with all the buildings. I can't say enough good about it. It's just that I'm worried that we're making this concentrated problem right here, that someday we're going to rue that we didn't do something today about. And so a lot of rambling, but basically, they're asking a lot. I mean, the building's in the road already. I'm surprised we haven't had more accidents there, quite honestly. But again, there is some traffic coming because people know that, you know, that's a busy spot. But backing up, I think we need to look at the whole South Pomfret Village and try to figure out. And I'm, you know, as a board member or even as an individual town person, I'm more than willing to help facilitate things with the state and this and that. I still have a question. You said, oh yeah, we're going to put the septic there. It's my understanding that the septic's pretty limited, and I'm not sure that it can meet regulations, but that's a whole other discussion.
And so, you know, if the town can get together and help Kathleen realize her goals and her desires, and we get South Pomfret fixed. Otherwise, we're just going to kind of keep adding on and adding on, and eventually, you know, we're going to run out of space. So it's just food for thought. I've given this a lot of thought since the last 4 years I've been on the board, because we, you know, the other problems is we can't fix the bridges, you know, because they're snarled up in that too. You know, if we fix the bridge going up Pomfret Road, it's got to be raised 3 feet. Well, that means you've got this. We'd have to have this big, I don't know what you'd even call it, and the bridge deck would be halfway up the height of the TEO store, and so, you know, that's not going to really work out well. I thought about the one-way street thing, you know, just having you go one way. The problem is that you know the library folks certainly, and I don't know if there's any library folks here tonight. The library folks were not, at least at the time, not thrilled about directing 50% of the traffic, you know, on Library Street. So anyway, there's lots to think about, and I'm just pointing out that there's a holistic way, perhaps, of looking at things, and I'm only one person.
What did Rita say about all this, Mendocino?
I'm not sure. I consulted with her on past plans and kind of got up to speed on what was obvious to me when I just visited the site through the challenges. She has not looked at the proposed plans.
Tim, you had a question?
With the work that you're doing, especially like with the deck over the brook or even the septic across the street, have you triggered an Act 250 permit, or is that something you have to deal with as well?
Yeah, it wouldn't be an Act 250, but certainly the state floodplain manager has reviewed the plans and provided some writing to the ZBA here, and just answering your question and yours about the septic, the plan is to not increase the flows, so there's a little bit of seating added. I think we're going from 6 to 15 seats, and there'll be a room in one of the bedrooms removed, so it's a no increase in flows to use the existing septic system.
Christine, you have a question?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to address to Frank, one of the things he discussed, the ice cream window, obviously concerned little kids running around out front, that sort of thing. One of the things we did to address that was with the porch, maintaining a railing on the porch, so if you're on it, it's just not run off, jump off. And also a fence around that area. So you have two barriers that there is between the ice cream window to get off the porch and then to get to the road itself with the curb and the fence. So I think that does at least address some of the concerns. Obviously, we all know what kind of intersection that is for sure. And I also think the bridges not being, you know, they've always been issues. We're also addressing that by moving all of our equipment upstairs, taking them out of the flood, you know, flood danger, I guess. I don't know, and this is just my personal opinion, I don't know that it's really fair to dump on Kathleen fixing all of South Pomfret. That's my only, I understand where you're coming from. We've all seen close calls. We've all, you know, we've all been there. But, I'm sorry, I thought you said something. But I feel like we have addressed some of those danger zone issues. Moving forward.
If you move the store across the street, now you have no parking.
Well, exactly. I mean, and I also don't... That changes the whole vibe of South Pomfret.
No, so
we don't even...
I personally feel that this is... provides better flow as well as better safety than what's currently there. And if you look at what's going on there now with the parking in front of the store...
Oh, it's a nightmare.
Why somebody hasn't had a major head-on there...
For me, it's watching people back into the room.
Maybe it's because it's the speed, but just eliminating the parking in front of the store is huge.
Betsy, you have a question?
This is not a very pretty idea, but I think safety-wise, it might have some merit. I don't know. But at the crosswalk, if there's a way to allow people who are crossing, this idea was floated up here because crossing at meetings at night, it's very dangerous to cross this road, but to get people to be able to push a button and have a light, you know, that flashes. That could backfire.
I was told not to bring up flashing lights.
What?
I mentioned that at a design meeting, and I'm still not sure.
Well, it's not pretty. It's not attractive, and it's not appealing, but it is safe. So
maybe you could have those little flags that they have over by Matt.
You can add flashing lights to the flags.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a terrible idea.
In Portland, they're putting up crosswalks, and they have a little bucket with flags on both sides.
Something that alerts traffic to the fact that people are crossing. That's all. Yeah.
Well, tell me, you have a secondary. Fence you mentioned the secondary fence. What does the town road commissioner say about plowing and fences that are that close to the road and all
that? Well, I want to clarify, Christina.
Yes.
I think I heard the design team saying a fence or a railing.
Or a railing.
One or the other.
Gotcha.
And the fence is
but
not sure.
But
there's a curve here.
Yeah.
And this is a what we call a 10 scale drawing, so every inch is 10 feet. So you can see the curb is 10 feet out from the property line, and I would imagine the fence would be back on the property. Mm-hmm. So from the road point, I don't think it would have an impact. It would be some granite curbing in town, which is probably not too common. But, you know, you go down to Woodstock or most, you know, any other town.
This isn't Woodstock.
So wait a minute. So really what you're proposing is that you're going to put curbing not even on your property, but in the road right of way.
That's why we're here tonight. Absolutely. Yeah, that's why we're here.
So the gray area, you're going to make the traffic just that narrow.
To keep people from parking in there,
yes.
You've got to have curbing.
I mean,
people are going to park there. Which is
curbing.
You've got curbing on sidewalks and Woodstock.
There's a sidewalk coming off the sidewalk. And
right now, unless something's changed from last winter, all of the snow gets plowed away from the store, so plowing snow into the whatever's there isn't really an issue. I mean, you've got your lane width, and then you've got curving. I mean, it's very common to have curving at the road's edge. So I mean, I don't. You know, you were basically, instead of the town putting up curving in a village district at their expense, you're doing it at your expense. So.
I also believe if we don't put curbing, we're going to have to put no parking.
If there's not curbing, people are going to
park. Right. I think that it would be too big a battle.
If we give them the opportunity, they're going to take it.
Correct.
What about the snow removal on the curbing within the right-of-way?
As long.
This area is kind of long.
Well, it's a sidewalk, right?
Right.
Lawn.
Yeah, you wouldn't.
So you just leave it built.
Yeah, and then there's a sidewalk that needs to have snow removed from it.
Yeah.
And again, that would need to be an agreement. I'm assuming that would.
Well, that would be whoever takes care of the parking lot. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think no matter what you do on the road, right, your responsibility, in my mind, the way I see it, responsibility on you guys. You're asking us to put it in, and if we allow you to put it in there, you guys moving forward need to maintain that. So if that curbing gets broke or anything of that nature, that shouldn't be an added expense to the town.
I would agree with that. Mm-hmm.
You still going to have let people check in deer down there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good. Then do what you want to do.
It's like Norm Pearson in Cheers. He's like, is the price of beer going to go up? Nope. Do whatever you want to do.
They're trying, and I know everybody on the board knows this as well as probably the town, but they're trying to take a business model that they currently have and what they've had down there for maybe 50 years. It's developed some over the years, but try to take something that in today's society, in today's world, is just not viable for a town like Concord. You can't run a store and expect it to survive the way that it's run down there. And if they can't do something to move into the next century to make this viable, then they don't have a viable business model. and that they've got to do something so that they can succeed down there. It's part of the town, and yeah, that's what's going on.
It's succeeded until this day. I don't know what's happened. It's still going. I wouldn't rule it out. It'll keep on going. But well, you're right. So it's a important part of the history.
I do think that you have to take something, and I think you should remember this, and so should you, Christine. And when Frank mentioned that upper bridge, there's an issue there. That bridge cannot be replaced as is. Water Resources will not let us take the ledge out from underneath it to lower the water bed. Your foundation is also in the brook for all practical purposes, and that's one reason we can't lower that. And if that bridge, and that is not an if, it's all right at the moment, but you did a study when you were on the select board not too long ago in replacing that bridge. That bridge, in order to be replaced, is going to have to be raised 3 feet, at least 3 feet, and I can't remember the exact figures, although I went to those hearings a number of years ago. And it is something that you should consider, because it is going to change how Chico's store is going to sit there. And getting the coolers and stuff out of the cellar and all of the things that you store there, that will protect you from a flood, sort of, maybe, or it will keep you having less damage. But that bridge, if the road stays as it is, will have to get replaced. And it probably won't be in the not-too-distant future. And although you may think that we all are negative, or some of us are negative, and I'm not negative about Chico at all, but one has to be realistic as to what the constraints are. And that is a constraint, and that is a significant constraint for the store, as well as the traffic pattern down there. And that is not a pie-in-the-sky assumption. That's real. That's what the state said when that was investigated several years ago. It was probably 10 or 12 years ago now. Time seems to fly whether you have fun or not. And so it's something that you ought to consider when you're doing all these renovations. And although Frank's notion may not be popular as to placing the store somewhere where you have more room and a better shot at parking and those kinds of things and a safety issue, it's a forward-thinking way to look at things. And I'm not sure it's a bad way to look at things. I don't want to see Chico demise or anything of the sort, but there is enough land around Chico, some of which Kathleen now owns, where she could either move the building or build a new one, and would alleviate a lot of the problems that she is having and safety issues that occurred. And I, for one, think Frank's got some forward-thinking thoughts on it, and I just want to express that.
I totally appreciate where you're coming from. Excuse me. And I've seen the flooding myself. I mean, I've been there long enough to see all manner of things. The only thing I do ask is, let's say she entertains that idea. I'm trying to think of, in the long term, like how long would a project of that magnitude take to conceive? Because the reality is, I don't get another year at that store through the health inspector. I've already had 2 free years because we were in development with all of this. The next time he comes, I can't be a delegate until the building comes up to code. Because all of the 30 years that Chuck owned it, all the code changes that occurred were grandfathered under him. The day he sold the building to Kathleen, we were supposed to address all of those things. Now, they were big things. New wiring, new plumbing, new this, new that, new floors, you know, all that stuff. The first year he came, it had just happened. This is what we're doing. These are our plans. He's like, great. He came back the next year and he goes, what's going on? So we were held up by permitting and that kind of thing. And he was kind of hemming and hawing about it. He's not going to say that this year. And that's, if this were to go into development, let's say, this could take another year, 2 years. We would be without TIGO altogether in that time.
I guess my comment would be is that I've mentioned tonight and nights before, is I'd be more than willing as a board member to work with the... I think that if a board came to the state and said, hey, look, state, we're working with these people. They're caught between a rock and a hard spot. We need to, you know, we need to help out. Because there's lots of issues about, you know, if you move the building, you know, well, can you move it over next to a stream? What are the requirements there? There are lots of...
That's what I mean. It's a big deal.
No, I understand that. And so what I'm saying is that rather... I, as an individual, and I won't speak for the rest of the board because I can't, I'm willing to work tirelessly to come up with a solution that makes everybody's life better down there and to not... Well, I mean,
my equipment is...
No,
I mean, if you come into the store regularly, you have to kick the produce cooler. I have no freezer anymore.
Yeah.
I can't get, seriously.
Well, I know. I understand those
have
are
you
all...
Been in, Jimmy?
Those are all infrastructure things, but if I look at your map, you're looking, I mean, let's be honest, you're asking the town to give you guys, you know, a 10-foot strip on each side of the road where the road curves in South Palm.
No. I think that's a misrepresentation. This is actually the travel way of the road.
I
so we're saying everything that everyone asks, which is to create some security and safety, some control, some clarity. I mean, the town could have done that for a long time. The town could have said, you can't have this wide open curb cut, it's not safe. It doesn't have to be a curb lawn, it could be something else. But this is a very standard profile here. There's really no added benefit to the store itself, so we're not, you know, the store is not asking for anything other than...
Well, it is a buffer. I mean, it does put up a buffer. That's not, yeah. Well, I don't want to get into the weeds and stuff. I'm just saying that when I got on the board, I jumped into this whole idea of fixing the street, and you know, quite honestly, ended up tearing my hair out because this whole idea of the TIGO intersection keeps coming up every couple of years, and people rant, rave, what are you going to do about it? And it flares up, and then it dies down, and it flares up and dies down, and my point is that this is our ideal opportunity to perhaps address this again in a holistic way. And I'm talking again, about the Grange and Artistry Building and stuff. And all these things are great. And don't, you know, I'll say it again, just so I'm clear. I want the TIGO store to be very successful. I think it's a wonderful thing. We our communities need places to gather and do all our things and stuff. But we have other issues in its you know, safety in this area and stuff. And I'm willing to work with them. It's not like I'm coming here and saying no, you can't do this. It's like, okay, let's work together. Can we come up with something? And I've been sort of beating this drum for a couple of years. And I don't know. The problem is, quite honestly, is that you folks come with one little thing at a time. Can we do this? Then can we do this? Then can we do this? And what I'm saying is that, you know, let's look at this in a big way, and how can it benefit the whole town? And I don't know.
Can I
just brainstorm.
Frank?
Sure.
If Chuck did not sell the store, if it was still going under Chuck,
mm-hmm.
if Bill and I had ended up buying it, which had originally been our plan, We would have had to bring the building up to code, certainly not to the extent Kathleen has the ability to do it,
mm-hmm.
But would we be having the same conversation?
I would think so.
Yeah, but knowing full well there's not a chance in hell I could afford to do this, or Chuck could afford to do it.
And so this is a way for Kathleen to contribute to the South Palm for more than she already has.
I'm sorry, but I...
She's contributed a lot, Kathleen.
Oh, yeah, but now you're asking her to contribute more. I guess I just didn't understand your last statement.
No, I think she's done one... You know,
but you asked
there's nothing
more. I just think that...
I'm asking for more because there's going to be an impact there.
I think based on the tone in the room at the zoning meeting, I think by asking for more and more and more and more, there's a risk of them pulling the plug and
And
then we have no Tego. And we have no Tego.
I just, not to stifle the conversation, but I do just want to reiterate for everybody in the room, we actually, to Frank's point, have a binding agreement and a binding in spirit to work collaboratively with not just on Tego, but on the whole, all the projects that Kathleen has going on down in South Pomfret. We actually have a binding agreement, and I'll just read it for the benefit of everybody in the room. The part, you know, this is now that it's over, it's okay to read this, but we're committed to working cooperatively and in good faith on an ongoing basis to establish open communication to resolving issues and concerns related to the above reference operations, which basically references all of it, including any issues that may exist related to pedestrian vehicle traffic access, circulation, parking, and safety. Mm-hmm. So we actually have committed ourselves to doing
that. And I feel that so much of that has been addressed in terms of what can we do to make the store that we have better place.
And one thing, Frank, if I may, I think informally you had actually started some dialogue, regular dialogue, right?
With
Kathleen.
Yeah, because one of the other concerns I had, I mean, is I wanted to get a sidewalk put in from the current Tego parking lot up to the Grange. Because one of the things I've observed is in the wintertime, when people come to a theater event, they park at Tego and they walk the road up to the Grange building. And so one of the things I talked about, and there's grant money available to get that kind of pedestrian things built and stuff. And I really think there should be a sidewalk between that parking lot and up, because, you know, I watch people, they walk the road, and when the snow's there, they walk in the road. And, you know, if there was a... That's one thing that I talked with Kathleen about, was getting something like that squared away so that people would stay out of the road.
The reason I mention it, though, Frank, is I think maybe what's coming out here is an opportunity to reestablish some regular dialogue, mm-hmm. so that we are talking about this holistically, as you're describing. We do have to, you know, zoning permits being what they are, we do have to act on these things.
I agree.
But at the same time, maybe there's an opportunity here to establish some regular dialogue to talk about the larger holistic.
Again, I'm working on a timeline.
Sure.
And that's, I'm the person that gets to deal with all of it.
Yep.
You know, and I just look at this, as 2 years in the making.
Yeah.
You know, you address this question and you address, because we were here a year ago as well. You know, and you address this, we've had meetings aside.
Right.
We've addressed this, we've come up with maybe this idea for that. And I feel like a lot of work has been put into addressing all those things. Keeping Tego where it is, where it's always been, you know, which I just feel like it's a great opportunity. Now, doing all of this other stuff, like I said, if you get into development for moving this entire project, I mean, you're talking a couple years. And I just don't have that. And I also feel like that's going to completely and forever change South Pomfret. And I mean, I kind of like the way it is, but I understand your concerns. But
the only point I'm making is that I do think there's an opportunity for, aside from having to act on what we have to act on in the moment, is that having that kind of regular dialogue.
But if you have that regular dialogue, does that pause any development?
I don't think it can.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
It can't, because we have statutory deadlines that have to be met. So we can't hit pause.
Because if you have a dialogue to, in fact, change the entire South Pomfret, you know, footprint, how do we fix the building?
Yeah.
We don't.
Yeah, it's a bit of a...
That's where I'm coming from.
Right.
You guys can have as much dialogue as you want, but it stalls the progress of the Tego store.
I hate to hear the tone here becoming adversarial, because the town has taken care of Chuck and the snow.
Oh my gosh. And I don't mean to be adversarial.
But don't make it sound that way.
Okay.
Then. because that's how it's sounding. We have taken, the road crew has taken care of you guys down there.
For sure.
They've gone down there and opened up your culverts mm-hmm. when they weren't working. That really wasn't our job. That was run off from your building. They've done that on our time.
For years.
They have been doing that for years and years and years. So don't say that we haven't bent over to be decent. That's what you're implying. And that isn't really what you should be implying. Because we have dealt and worked with Tego and Kathleen.
Sure.
And Rhoda Tego when she owned. It's something that has been ongoing practice. And to indicate that isn't the case.
I'm talking about just the future of changing.
Isn't a fair assumption. What we're here to do is to decide what's best for the right of way.
Sure.
And unfortunately, that includes not just protecting Tego General Store, but protecting the right for us to maintain the road and keep it safe for all individuals.
Agreed.
And that's what we're here for, and that's what we're here to decide. This is not a zoning board of adjustment hearing.
Absolutely.
We're here only to deal with the right of way. And so don't make it adversarial.
I don't mean it to be adversarial. I was addressing just what these gentlemen were talking about in terms of the giant picture and the possibility of moving the store. I talk about this renovation project. I literally talk about it every single day for 2 years.
Well, I can understand that as well. But meanwhile, the renovation isn't why we're here. We're here because of the road right of way.
Correct.
And because a good share of the building sits in it. And that's our concern, and it's also our concern
for sure.
when we have to replace that bridge. Like it or not, that's going to affect you.
For
and
sure.
you might as well be looking at that as well. Billy, you had a question.
Well, yeah, I think you have a project. And you want sort of an overview of what we think. And everybody's spoken, I think, rather well and given some good ideas and some crazy ideas. But just the fact is, you've got a project and you just want us to know what you want or what she wants. And that's her vision. So why don't we act on it? Why don't we just say yay or nay? I mean, this is what we need to do. The bridge is the only thing that really has thrown a monkey wrench into it. But that's her choice.
Well, that's true.
If she doesn't care, then fine. Let her move ahead with this project. It looks like it's been very well planned. Of course, there's always going to be a turning issue or something
right.
somewhere. And you just do deal with it, you know. And I think they've done a darn good job of presenting a fairly sound and sensible presentation for the Tego store.
Do we have an actual permit filled out for this?
I was told to just reach out to the select board.
We'll have to issue a right-of-way permit that has all the
Is there conditions. A form that I can fill?
It really will end up... No, because this will be sort of a custom permit.
I think before we do that, we need to schedule a site visit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
go down and look at
sure.
the situation. And then we'll figure out how we're going to deal with what we've got to deal with. And I think that's the first step.
Right.
And it may be a permit, or it may just be as you can get this far into the right-of-way, and then... That's as far as you can go, and we've got to protect our interests. But I think a site visit is in order, and I think we should schedule that in the very near future.
I mean, you just remember with the right-of-way, it is the road right-of-way. So if we give them permission today to put curbing where they've asked for it, if 2 years down the road we deem we need an extra foot of that for the travel lane, all we have to do is say, sorry, you're going to have to move your curb back a foot.
Well, it would be nice if we didn't make them do something.
No, nobody wants, I'm not suggesting that, but to I just don't want things like getting so hooked on things that it's going to make something not happen. That's my point.
Kevin, and what about that other catch basin there that has failed that like runs underneath the store?
It's yeah, there are a series of three catch basins in the right of way that receive roof runoff, but a lot of runoff from Pomfret Road. And I understand they're all either clogged or failed. And so part of the project would be to open those up, clean them out, replace pipes, and get them working.
And then the catch basin out of the parking lot is just going to be daylight.
This will be a new one here. Yeah.
Right.
It'll either connect back through
or it'll run out this way.
Yeah, and then across the road in the parking lot, it'll just go into the river.
There's really no change here other than paving a gravel parking lot, and the gravel is really impervious anyway. It's just actually the paving means kind of less sediment running off because you don't have the gravel kind of running off and then potholes and more salt.
Yeah, sand. Just so salted. Paving. So there's no curbing around the lot.
That's correct. Yeah.
Anyway, on the bright side, when this is all said and done, Christine's going to have a whole bunch of brand new compressors in there with coolers and freezers and everything else. It's going to save
the energy efficiency.
It's going to save the town a ton of money. Then you'll be able to pay this guy. I can't believe it. I mean, the amount of money that they're probably spending on electricity.
You do. I know.
I just don't have to tell me. I already know. Because when you put one of them sons of guns, you see a huge, huge drop in energy consumption. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
They call them scroll compressors. Yeah. And they save a ton of money.
Now that we've saved a ton of money, do you guys want to schedule a site visit right now? Or do you want to... When do you want to do this site visit, and when are you available?
I'm around tomorrow, all day. But whenever, at your
It's up to you guys. I'm still limping tomorrow, with my knees, so
I the sooner the better, I feel.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Get it done so we can get this project moving if we can.
It'll be 20 below zero tomorrow. It'll be a good day for it.
Won't take long.
It's only getting...
It's always an advantage.
Yep, good.
Drive my windshield tightness.
Best day for me is next Tuesday, but that's fine. That doesn't work for
you. Won't they bring some donuts?
I think they might have those in the store.
They have them at the store already.
They're supposed to be going in the morning.
Yeah, free sandwiches.
Are you going to be terribly hurt if you don't get the site visit, Scott, or anybody? What time tomorrow morning? And we'll just get this done, over with.
Earlier the better for me, but...
9 o'clock.
8?
I have an 8 o'clock for Sharon.
Oh, okay. So what time?
9:30 for me, 10, somewhere there.
9:30?
10 o'clock. 10? So, do 10 and then the point in time.
10 o'clock tomorrow. Yeah. We'll see you there.
All right. Thank you. I'll bring this plan.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for coming. Moving on. Zoning regulations progress. So now we're on to zoning regulations. We received a letter from the Planning Commission that I believe was sent to the entire board, and I do not have a copy of that except on my computer, and there's been some discussion back and forth between Scott and Matt, and if we're going to schedule another hearing, I would like to see a final document that everybody would be on board with, and I don't think we have that right now. So, the people here from the Planning Commission, let's start the discussion there as to how we want to proceed.
That's a good start.
Don't everybody speak at once.
So what's the? I guess I'll start. I don't have any one way or the other. What's the fly in the ointment? The sound, the noise.
Did you read the letter?
Yeah.
You want me to read it?
Yeah. Well, just that part. Well, okay.
There was a change regarding prohibited uses in the village district,
mm-hmm.
and we support the change that you've asked to change, which is basically to replace industrial with heavy industrial on the list of prohibited uses in South Pomfret District.
Right.
This amendment would make light industrial a conditional use, i.e. a use that is subject to approval by the ZBA. The reason given for this amendment is to be consistent with the 2006 town plan.
Right.
Which states in relevant part, the light industrial activities shall be located within or adjacent to the village areas. That was the approved town plan, and that's what it said in that.
Right. Okay.
But and we took it out. We decided not to have it in the zoning because we felt that it you know, it just didn't kind of mesh with what was going on in the town. But on further thought, we figured, okay, we can have light industrial, and the ZBA can condition it, so that's fine.
Do you mind me asking how you define light versus heavy industrial?
Well, we have a definition in here somewhere.
If that's something I can reference, you don't need to.
Yeah, you can reference it, yeah.
I'd like to hear.
Do you want to read it, Betsy?
Read it out loud?
Dig it up for you? Here, I'll let you find it for me. Where is it? Light, okay.
I just wonder if there's things that we do at Suicide 6 that cross that threshold in the course of our standard maintenance.
I don't believe so.
Well, Suicide 6 is permitted for that 250, anyway, so it's a different permitting process. Yes.
What am I looking for here?
Never mind.
Right here, you can look for it. Yeah. And the other thing that we visited the suggested change was prohibit uses in the rural district. We do not support this amendment and respectfully ask the select board to reconsider for the following reasons. The amendment proposes to replace heavy industrial with industrial not associated with home-based businesses on the list of prohibited uses in the rural district. And it would prohibit light industrial uses in the rural district other than such uses that are accessory to a dwelling or accessory dwelling. The reasons given for this amendment is to be consistent with the 2016 town plan, which states in relevant part, except for new home-based businesses or existing, new industrial activities not associated with home-based businesses shall not be located in rural areas. The Planning Commission initially allowed as a conditional use light industrial uses in the rural district for several reasons, including compatibility with existing uses and development patterns in the rural district. The 2016 Pomfret Town Plan does not define industrial uses, nor does it distinguish between industrial in general and light industrial in particular. The draft zoning bylaw does provide these definitions and distinctions consistent with the regional plan prepared by the Two Rivers Regional Planning Commission. We believe these definitions and distinctions in the draft bylaw represent an improvement upon this 2016 town plan, as they carefully circumscribe the scope of light industrial in a manner that makes these uses appropriate for consideration in the rural district. Moreover, as light industrial uses in the village district, these uses in the rural district are subject to general standards for all land development in Section 4.1, general conditional use standards in Section 4.2, special standards in Section 4.5, and ZBA review. We believe these safeguards adequately address the concerns expressed in the 2016 Pomfret Town Plan regarding industrial activities in the rural districts. It goes on to say, it makes sense to permit in rural districts light industrial not associated with home-based businesses, provided it meets the conditional use standards, and we do not want to deny the ZBA an opportunity to at least review proposed light industrial uses that are not associated with home-based businesses. We believe these may be appropriate under limited circumstances. As an example, if the Prosper Valley School is not used as a school and the land and buildings are returned to the town, a future proposed use of that facility might be light industrial, not associated with a home-based business. If light industrial uses are entirely prohibited in the borough district, no such use could ever or could even be considered. This is just one example. We have incorporated the regional plan definition for industrial, heavy industrial, and light industrial into the zoning bylaw. In the next revision of the Pomfret Town Plan, we believe these definitions should be incorporated. In the meantime, the Pomfret Zoning Bylaw need not mirror the town plan in all respects. State law only requires conformance, which has been interpreted by the Environmental Division as requiring overall, quote, harmony, agreement, or compliance, and not duplication. Regarding the... Okay, then goes on to the suggested change to Section 4.17, general noise standard. This is the one that got everybody's hair up. General noise standard. The Planning Commission supports one. These are either or. Number one, it supports leaving the sound standard at 70 decibels townwide, which we have already in the draft zoning ordinance. Deleting the sound standard in its entirety, the town could then adopt a standalone ordinance if desired, or add sound standards to the next revision of the zoning bylaw. Or three, have the amended sound standard apply only to the South Pomfret Village District. This amendment proposes to replace a uniform 70 decibel noise standard with a substantially more complicated provision that imposes different standards at different times of the day, daytime versus night, measuring from different locations, property lines versus dwelling, and employing different metrics, L1H versus LS max. I'm not sure exactly what that is. The Planning Commission believes the criteria in the amended sound standards are confusing and will be costly to administer for all involved, and we are not alone. We consulted with Resource Systems Group, a research and analytical firm in White River Junction that provides noise control engineering services. RSG told us that they, too, were confused by the amended standard. In particular, they thought the word instantaneous did not make sense in context and should be deleted. Moreover, RSD estimated $500 to $2,000 to perform a sound study to show a violation of the bylaw. We do not believe any benefit of the more complicated standard outweighs these significant drawbacks, particularly in the rural district, where lower development densities reduce the risk of excessive noise at or beyond property lines. At a minimum, the nighttime hours should be addressed, as the workday begins before 7:30 a.m. for many in town. Is the zoning broken by not having a sound standard? We don't believe so. But if a sound standard is included, should it be easy to understand and enforce? Absolutely. A critical purpose of the amended bylaw is to reduce the risk of legal challenge. However, we believe this amendment will create confusion and prove so difficult to enforce that landowners may feel they're better off in court. Moreover, we do not believe the sound standard in the Purple Crayon settlement agreement must or even should be applied to the entire town. Section 8 contains a merger clause, which says that nothing outside the written agreement is binding on the parties, including on the town. If the select board wishes to amend the sound standard for the South Pomfret Village District, then we believe Suicide 6 should be consulted. A valued, amended neighbor and taxpayer, Suicide 6 grooms trails and makes snow at night. The nighttime 45 decibel limitation may require them to curtail these activities. The commission agrees with the select board that it is important to adopt these new bylaws as soon as possible. To this end, it is best not to complicate the draft with a sound standard that is not well understood or fully vetted by town officials and the public. More time will be needed to ensure this revised standard is appropriate, including information meetings and hearings. In the meantime, we can test drive the current draft, and the sound standard can be revisited along with any other maintenance changes that may be needed. We hope you'll consider our concerns and make appropriate changes in the draft and warn your next hearing. If this is the outcome, I have forwarded under separate cover a written requirement. On the other hand, if you decide otherwise, we look forward to talking to you further. Basically, we thank you for this and that and opportunity to provide feedback, and look forward to discussing with you on the Planning Commission letter to this Michael for those that haven't seen it.
I personally agree with all of your recommendations.
Anyway, that's it's not a document that's permanent, as I said, and what we said. And it can be amended and changed, and it always will be, and it must be. But in the meantime, we just felt that this sound ordinance really needs to be thought very carefully. We deliberated forever, and as I said, we at the very end talked to this RSG people, but we did look into other town noise ordinances, a number of them, and I mentioned that in an email to everybody today. because I thought you should know that. I mean, we just didn't come up with our own thoughts. We studied this, and we deliberated many, many meetings. Right, Nelson, I believe we just couldn't figure out exactly what was fair. But anyway, we feel that what we've come up with here is the right way to go for now. And it's up to you all to agree with us, I suppose. If you would.
Somebody want to make a motion?
I make a motion that we adopt as written and read by Bill Emmons.
Well, there is
that. There was options.
There were options.
And the option
to remain with
the sound ordinance for now.
As is in the draft.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not having one.
Not having one at all?
Or do you want to leave it as it's in the draft? It said 70 decibels.
The draft reflects Woodstock's numbers, 70 decibel.
Okay.
Period.
And that's at property line.
Yeah, that's property line, yeah.
Which, again, is kind of muddied by...
It actually says beyond, too.
Does it?
Yeah.
Tim?
So your motion is...
Well, you gave three options.
Go for the third. Take it right out. Take it right out.
Personally, I think we should do.
Exactly.
And that we should research this more.
Exactly.
And come up with a comprehensive way that is actually fair.
That's what we wanted to do, but we felt we should.
How this is going to affect and who it's going to affect,
right,
and how we're going to enforce it and what it's going
to. That's what we always wanted to do, but then we thought, well, we got to have.
So for now, I think we need to remove it altogether so that we can get the rest of this done and then that you guys.
So that's your motion.
Can research that, yes.
And would you change the other two recommendations regarding the heavy industrial and the light industrial?
As
presented by Bill?
I would.
Do we have a second on that motion?
Can we bifurcate these into separate motions just so we're dealing with them cleanly? Are you amenable to that, John?
You don't want to do a consent motion?
Well, because I'd like to deal with these issues individually.
Good.
So can we start with just the sound?
We can, yeah.
Okay.
Do we have a second on just the sound amendment then? To go with the 70 decibels as was originally proposed in the zoning ordinance?
Striking
it all together?
Oh, we did.
Now you're going to strike it completely. And you're... All right, now, is there any discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to speak to... So, Bill said a lot of things, and I can sense the tone in the room. But I just want to clarify for everybody in the room a bunch of points. One, Suicide 6 was mentioned. Suicide 6 sound provision emanates from an Act 250 permit. So, Suicide 6, whatever we do doesn't apply. Suicide... What's that?
That's not true.
It is true. I have a copy of the permit.
We still have to comply with town ordinances.
Not with the sound provision. The sound provision is baked into the Act 250 permit. So the